to finish this one off, and they turn to Benny Snell to do so. First play of the fourth quarter is a touchdown splash for Snell.
Welcome to the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at DReefer or at MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Joe Perino.
Good morning, Mary Joe.
Check the calendar. I mean, what?
Yeah.
What?
Four wins in the SEC.
And there's still wins to be had.
Yes, Georgia and Tennessee have proven vulnerable.
And after last night, I didn't have Tennessee on my radar. I'll be honest. I thought Georgia, we can maybe get Georgia. But then I saw what happened with South Carolina.
Yeah.
And they are a garbage team.
Yes.
I don't know.
Play defense and run the football in the SEC, and good things will happen. And it's happening. It's happening.
And literally every single thing. If you listened to this show yesterday morning, Coach Ortmeier told you exactly how Kentucky was going to win this game. And they did everything that he said they were going to do.
Yes, absolutely. You know, at the end of the show, I brought up LSU and what LSU did. They had two 100-yard rushers, and their quarterback threw for 215. And this game should have been that score, 42-7. Kentucky could have won this game 42-7,
yeah,
like LSU did against Missouri. But, you know, Kentucky still turned it over a couple times, gave up the punt return, and then the late touchdown bomb. You know, that didn't happen to LSU. So that's the difference between an LSU and a Kentucky. But, golly, give Mark Stoops some credit here because this was not
absolutely
in the cards after the Florida game.
No.
This was, you've completely fooled us again, and we're so upset over this that we're not going to believe another word that comes out of your mouth. We are done with you and this team until a new direction has been taken. And so then I went over South Carolina. Nope, still not coming back. I went over Vanderbilt. Huh? A little bit better. But you know what? We're not showing up for that Miss State game. Not good enough. And now you beat Mississippi State and Missouri. The place has got to be packed for Georgia, right?
It has to be.
I'm going. I've already got my tickets. I'm going to that
game. I
was
at the Mississippi State game and was definitely disappointed at the crowd because that was a fun game.
Yes.
I mean, that was a fun game to watch. It's just wow.
Yeah.
Well, and now you get the sense that they don't feel like, well, we've got Austin Peay, and then we're golden.
Right.
You get the sense that they think,
we got Georgia and Tennessee out there ahead of us.
Yeah, we've got
two losses in the SEC could get this done for us.
Mm-hmm,
we could go to Atlanta.
Yeah.
It's not crazy to think.
Who was it that tweeted that last night? We had a 26% chance to beat Missouri.
Oh, one of the players.
Jordan Bonner, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
How about that 1% chance to win the SEC East?
Yeah.
Let's see what we do with that.
That would be a rematch with Alabama. Only lost to them 34-6.
Which, in all honesty, is like a pretty good showing when you think about what Alabama's done to everybody this year.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Austin Peay lost again. 0-8 is Austin Peay. 0-8 are the Governors. So on November 19th, if Kentucky doesn't win before then, but, you know, like Stoops said, in the post game, it's, we are not satisfied. Do you have, let's see, which one is that? That would be the excited, it's not relief. That was the very first one. Do you have that one, Josh? All right, play that.
We're excited, I think, for the first time. This isn't about relief of winning the game. This is about, you know, how much more we can do. And I believe that's what's fun about this group is the mentality to go back to work Monday for another challenge. And that's when it's fun.
And it was fun. And, yeah. You know, like, to watch Boom and Benny and that offensive line do what they did yesterday. I mean, Cole Mosier had himself a day. And then, you know, Steven Johnson made some plays.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff Badette made some plays. And I think once, just like Coach Ort said yesterday, once that running game is totally established, you can go ahead and do some of those things, mm-hmm. and you'll be successful.
You can take a shot with Badette like that, mm-hmm. and get single coverage, and he gets behind you, and you throw it up. He has made also great catches, too. Mm-hmm. Hasn't just always been right there. And Steven Johnson has got to hit C.J. Conrad one of these times. It's a touchdown every time. It was a touchdown against Alabama. It was a touchdown against Missouri. When you see that quarterback view.
And against Mississippi State, there was one.
Yes. They're open. It's one-on-one.
He tweeted out after the game, don't worry.
Right.
We're gonna hook up. We're going to get one of these that's going to happen.
Georgia yesterday was held to 21 yards rushing.
And we're talking about
Nick Chubb and Sony Michel.
I know.
Come on. So if Kentucky could, you know, muster some defense against them,
and you know,
Georgia has a horrible offense.
I'll be honest, I didn't. And why are they doing what they're doing anyways?
Mm-hmm.
What, did he throw the ball like 100 times yesterday?
It's
less than that, but I'm not exaggerating. I mean, they threw the ball so much, and you've got Nick Chubb and Sony Michel on your team. Like, what are you doing?
I think I saw it was 26 pass to 18 rush. So it was, you know, obviously much more in favor of the pass. And I guess they weren't getting but like two yards a carry. So they just couldn't do it. But here's the thing. South Carolina, poor offense. Vanderbilt, poor offense. Mississippi State, so-so. Missouri, great offense for the most part.
Didn't look like it yesterday.
But here comes Georgia, another poor offensive team that Kentucky has a real shot of knocking off to go to 5 SEC wins.
And just think about the mentality of both of those teams right now. I mean, Kentucky is feeling... They're feeling themselves.
Oh, yeah.
As they should be.
Yeah.
And teams like Georgia.
Yeah.
And now teams like Tennessee are feeling like whatever they wanted to accomplish is gone.
Yeah.
It's done. They will not accomplish what they wanted to and what they thought they could.
Yeah.
It's over with.
They've lost 3 in a row in the SEC.
But Kentucky's, all their stuff is still out in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
So you walk in with two different mentalities completely. I mean, that could be just a game changer.
If you win one of the next two and get to 5 SEC wins, that hasn't happened since 1977.
I know.
1977, and then the unthinkable. You would go to Tennessee and win that game and be 6-2 in the SEC. You know, I was happy to see that people were interested in going out to the airport and greeting the team.
How cool was that?
When they came back.
How cool was that?
That was.
And the players, you could tell that mm-hmm. meant something to them.
It was very...
That meant something to them.
Because they've been told, look, everybody's given up on you. All that matters is us. Don't worry about them. Everybody's given up on you. They've given up on me. And then to come back and see people out there celebrating them. That's good. That's good for those guys to see it.
I mean, doesn't that make you want to go out and win another one like that?
Mm-hmm. It does. It makes you want to beat Georgia at home. I can tell you that.
Can you imagine?
It'll be crazy.
It is crazy. 381-1313 if you want to jump in here and talk about that big win. We've got some guests lined up today, too.
First of all, I want to say, I can't imagine.
Because I was there
in
2006.
when you know, when Rich Brooks beat Georgia and that that goalpost came down, the place filled
up. But would that have been, that wasn't for the fifth SEC win of the year.
It was not, but it was for the turnaround. It was for, we're not going to fire this guy anymore. Here's his signature win. And then they win five of the last six, I believe it was, and go to the Music City Bowl and beat Clemson. Or was it? Yeah, it was Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was, so now if you imagine that and going even further to Atlanta, but at least the Music City Bowl back to Nashville, you know, that it has that feeling. The Georgia game would be a rush the field fine type game, I think.
Yes, I think so. Yeah. And even though, and you know, people are going to say it, like, this isn't
the Georgia.
And it's not even the Georgia of 2006.
Right.
You know.
It's still five SEC wins.
It's five SEC wins. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, we do have guests, as you said. At 9:30, we'll switch off football and talk Breeders' Cup, because that is next weekend. Breeders' Cup, big news yesterday.
Yes.
Nyquist is
huge
out.
News.
I hate to see that Nyquist is not going to run in this. But California Chromes to lose? Well, we're going to talk to Caleb Keller at TVG. He'll give you a few tips. You should go ahead and get out your pen. Be ready for the segment at 9:30 in about 15 minutes. Get out your pen. Jot down what Caleb Keller says so that you can be very happy next weekend after the Breeders' Cup. And then at 10 o'clock, Jen Smith from the Lexington Herald Leader. She was in Columbia, Missouri yesterday for that game. And she'll give us her thoughts and what she saw at 10 o'clock here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You talk about poor crowds. Ooh, I mean, the Missouri fans have completely stopped supporting that team this year.
They are done. That's unfortunate.
Everyone who I know went to the game were like, hey, did you see me on TV? We were on TV. I'm like, there were no other fans to show.
Mm-hmm.
There were no, and Kentucky kept scoring, so they'd show the, you know, the Big Blue faithful there, but there was just, I mean.
I did see somebody in the Big Blue crowd that I recognized.
Oh, I did. I definitely did.
Yeah. So, I mean, Barry Odom is only in his first year and already they've like abandoned it. So, I mean, I just don't understand that. I get that, but it's not that big of a place anyway. You should expect some growing pains.
You should have expected some growing pains, because there was going to be growing pains if it was still Gary Pinkel.
Yeah.
This was not going to be a good year,
mm-hmm.
And we already knew that.
How crazy is the SEC East, though, that South Carolina beats Tennessee yesterday?
I know. I never flipped over to that game for a hot second because I never thought, and there were so many other great games on.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, oh my gosh, am I really turning it off the Kentucky game? Because this one has gotten too out of hand. Even last night, I was flipping back and forth like a mad woman and thinking about you.
Mm.
I don't care one way or the other, but I kept flipping back to see the score. And then when it got to be 4-1, I thought, I don't see it.
And then it became 7-1.
Yeah. And then I kind of knew.
And then I threw up all over myself.
Yeah. Wow. Josh has been waiting for that.
Yes, he has. He's had his finger on the trigger.
And he pulled it.
There's nothing quite as stealthy as a citrus drop warrior. Lurking on the controls.
In a Breaking Bad jersey. Heisenberg.
And his little ninja shoes, tiptoeing around, sneaking up for the attack when you least expect it.
But yeah, so the Cubs go down 3-1 in the World Series. Meanwhile, Florida State comes back on Clemson, and then they shoot themselves in the foot. That was a great finish to that game.
That was a great finish.
The Nebraska-Wisconsin game was great. One of my best friends from high school is married to the offensive coordinator at Wyoming.
Oh, really?
So I always text back and forth with her, you know, to say good luck, in these games. And then they beat Boise State.
Handing Boise State its first loss.
Yes. That
was Nebraska's first loss. Baylor lost to Texas.
Yes.
That was Baylor's first
loss. Did that save Charlie Strong's job?
Maybe. It might have. West Virginia lost to Oklahoma State. That was their first loss. So the unbeatens left are Alabama, Michigan, Clemson, Washington, and Western Michigan. That's it.
And you have to, so the first playoff rankings come out Tuesday. You have to think, without question, those top four are the
Alabama,
four.
Alabama, Michigan, Clemson, Washington. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Washington has to go up against Mike Leach and Washington State at the end of the season.
Yeah, they looked bad last night, though, I think.
They won.
Did they?
Oh, yeah, they came back.
Okay, I just saw the score with like 21-0 or something.
It was 24-3 or 24-6 at halftime. Washington State came back in the second half.
Oh, my gosh.
Looked good doing it, yeah. Louisville was a 33-point favorite over Virginia. I need to talk to somebody who covers Louisville because I've not been watching more than just a little bit at the end. How are teams stopping them from doing what they want to do? Because Virginia?
Yeah.
My goodness. What? I mean, they're horrible. How do they stop Lamar Jackson?
When he needs to come through, he's come through.
Oh, he did. 16 seconds left.
Yeah, I mean.
They converted on fourth down and he throws the touchdown and they win. And then Boston College had lost 12 straight ACC games. And Patrick Toles quarterbacks the Eagles to a win at NC State. And look at Patrick Toles now. And he left here like, not working out here. Not feeling it here. I'm going to BC, which has lost 12 straight games in the ACC. Finally, some success there for him, but they're not going anywhere.
No.
And Kentucky's going everywhere.
Pretty cool. It was a pretty cool day yesterday.
And not with Drew Barker at Stephen Johnson's show.
Yeah.
Coach Ortmeier said yesterday, Drew Barker's not coming back. He doesn't see it. Drew Barker's not playing again this season. I don't know why you would anyway, because you don't want to mess up your mojo. You're on a roll. Dak Prescott.
Right. I don't want us to sound like he doesn't deserve a shot if he, you know. You don't want to also mess up his back anymore. Like, what if his back is, you know, I don't know the extent.
Yeah. Well, you definitely wouldn't want to push it. You're definitely not pushing it at this point.
No.
But then I don't think you want to mess up the feel here.
No, I don't think so either.
You've become a running football team that likes to take its shots. Not a team that throws it all over the place.
Which, as Coach Ortmeier pointed out yesterday, I mean, fans love the air raid and all that stuff. But that's not SEC football.
Right.
And what wins in the SEC is exactly how Kentucky won yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You run the football down their throats, you take a couple shots, and you stop them from running.
Yes.
And that's what Kentucky did yesterday, and that's SEC football. That's how you win. Kentucky's tried to use trick plays and this and that. And granted, last week, you know, against Mississippi State, they needed those trick plays, and that was fine, but... You know, I think they're really getting an identity now. They have an identity.
They absolutely do. And it's Benny and Boom.
Yeah.
I see people say Boom and Benny, but because Benny and Boom sounds like Benny and June, it almost has to be Benny and Boom. Boom and Benny? Benny and Boom.
Benny and Boom sounds better.
I like Benny and Boom sounds better. Did you see Benny tweet hashtag... Snell, yeah. That's good. Those two, 377 yards rushing for Kentucky.
That's just mind-blowing.
Boom, 182. Snell, 192. It's the first time in school history that two running backs have had 175 yards in an SEC game or more.
Wasn't that the freshman record for Benny, too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that broke, he broke Randall Cobb's rushing touchdown record for a season with 8. School record for most rushing yards by a freshman in a single game. Derek Logan's 186. Derek Logan?
Not Mark Logan?
Yeah, I mean, Derek Logan, but I just didn't think that was the guy who held it. 186 yards against Mississippi State in 1996. It's the 9th most in a single game by anybody. The most since Ralphie Little, 198 in 2005 against Vandy. And the most carries since 2002. All right, we got to get to a break because here in about 10 minutes, we're going to talk to Caleb Keller of TVG. We still want to do some more football stuff. I mean, it's going to be a football-heavy show, even though Kentucky basketball plays tonight at 7 o'clock.
Got this. I totally spaced it.
Yeah.
I mean, because... And when has that ever happened?
When does
that happen?
I know.
2006.
Back with more on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show. continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
You know who's going to win the game, right? Now is the time to join the thousands of online players at MyBookie because due to popular demand, MyBookie is extending their 100% bonus offer for one more week. Just use promo code RADIO to activate the 100% bonus offer, but you have to act this week to get your 100% bonus. You're wasting your time betting anywhere else. They have in-game live betting, so you can even place a bet after kickoff. And unlike some other websites you might find, MyBookie offers fast, no-hassle payouts when you win, real Vegas odds and incredible player props. And due to popular demand, for one more week, MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar, up to $1,000 when you use the promo code RADIO. So join now. Pull out your smartphone and sign up with their user-friendly mobile site. You play, you win, you get paid. Visit mybookie.lv or call 844-900-BETS and take advantage of the final week to get your 100% deposit bonus. Expert or rookie, you gotta check out MyBookie. Sign up today.
I'm in control of my world. My world is the same every day.
Every minute, my world seems to get a little smaller. My world is driving me crazy.
My world? What world? If your world is controlled by alcohol, there is hope.
We're AA, Alcoholics Helping Other Alcoholics Get Sober for more than 70 years.
You'll find us in the phone book, your local newspaper, or on the web at AA.org, Alcoholics Anonymous.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. The Dan and Mary Jo Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now, back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Inside. Boom Williams, first down, and Moore past midfield. Boom's got a hole, and he is gone. Touchdown, Kentucky, 60 yards. Stanley, no more.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You see the physicality, you see the run game, and you see how it helps a program. You have to be able to have that physicality. I've talked about that since day one. It's a process to get there that nobody wants to, you know, go through and wait. But, you know, we weren't ever discouraged. You just got to stay the course and get better. Some of those linemen are growing up. We have some backs. The receivers are always a threat. Even when we're not throwing the ball extremely well, they're a threat. Steven, you know, got the ball down the field and threw a beautiful post on 3rd and 8. That stretches people. That gets you off your back a little bit, and I feel like it's a good combination.
He's exactly right, and that pass to Jeff Bidette was right on the money.
It sure was. It takes time to build a big offensive line, a good one. Takes a few years. Then you've got juniors up there, redshirt sophomores, and then you get other guys that are huge specimens, and you're able to redshirt them. Like Tate Levitt, we had him right here in the studio, big guy. They expected a lot from him right away. Instead, they're redshirting him because they've got other guys. So next year, he will come in and be another big cog in the machine up front because they're able to move in a true freshman in Landon Young because they've got those other guys that are already like Ramsey Myers and Nick Haynes and Kyle Meadows. Those guys have played a lot. Mm-hmm. And Cole Mosier. Too. So then behind them, you can rotate in Logan Stenberg and Bunchy Stallings, who hadn't played a lot.
But you heard his name called a few times, talked about yesterday. This is going to show like my you know, lack of knowledge. I did not even know who Kendall Randolph was.
Really?
Yeah. And then he's like blowing things up yesterday. Mm-hmm. Eli Brown laid that big. I mean,
on the punt return, he almost, got paid back. He got paid
he
back.
He did. But the tackle that he had where he was so excited himself, he almost could not get up.
Right. Yeah.
He couldn't get up fast enough to celebrate is what I mean. He was tripping over himself like, yes! But it was amazing. Like,
yeah.
It's such a snowball effect. You know, yeah. Things start going your way, and then you start making better plays. You start being in the right position at the right time. Mm-hmm. The guys that whose feet would slip through their hands, they're now making that tackle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it all goes together.
Okay, so one of the players, I think it was Blake McLean, said that Missouri's sideline was accusing them of faking injuries to slow down the tempo.
They were even talking about that on the broadcast.
Well, there were some that there's no way. Boom, he's on offense. So every time he came out, he got nailed on his elbow that has that big brace, like it was a helmet to elbow deal on the brace. You know, his ankle a little bit. I mean, so that wasn't. Denzel Ware
is the other one, I guess.
That wasn't. There were a few others that could have been, I guess. But then there was one that I rewound about 5 times in a row just to watch it. And I think Missouri has a case. If they just watch this one video of Chris Westry standing there, Missouri's getting it together, about to snap the ball. Westry's kind of lining up in position. He turns his head to the sideline, looks back, and then the lone gunman from the grassy knoll catches him, and he drops like a bag of rocks, standing there. He's just standing there, and then he just goes, slumps down and goes to the ground. And he looks to the sideline first, and then he looks back. So I could see how you would think. I mean, it's suspect, I guess, at
so
best.
Do you consider that gamesmanship?
I think it's fine.
Yeah.
You mean no big deal. Yeah, stuff happens like that. You do things to try to win the game. You mix in the real pains with a few fake ones, and it just adds a little more to it. I mean, look, Mizzou, it didn't cost you the game.
No.
You can say whatever you want. You don't like it. Okay, whatever. But if you're whipping UK's butt, your mouth is shut on this issue.
Or if it's even close, yeah. And it wasn't close.
No, it's just whining. All right, next, we're going to talk horse racing because the Breeders' Cup is next weekend, some big races. It is always the best betting weekend for horse racing of the year because it's all champions.
Mm-hmm.
Just about every horse race has 4 or 5 great horses in there, and the odds are good. So it's at Santa Anita this year, and it is, right?
Yes.
Del Mar. Yeah, okay. It's the Santa Anita. And we're talking to our man, Caleb Keller from TVG, about it next on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Republic Bank is all about easy. That's why you can pay your Fayette County property tax bill in any of our 4 convenient Lexington Republic banking centers. So say goodbye to parking downtown and say hello to Republic Bank's friendly staff and our easy and convenient parking. Or make things even easier and use one of our drive-thrus. Paying your property tax bill can be easy. Visit a Republic banking center before December 31st. Republic Bank. It's just easier here. Member FDIC.
Open soon on Vine Street downtown.
Bad drugs. Morgan & Morgan at ForThePeople.com.
Lucky's Auto Sports is Central Kentucky's largest window tinting facility. Defining rides since 1999. Want to cut down on glare while you're driving? Want to protect your interior? Want that stylish look of darker windows? Bring your car or truck to Lucky's Auto Sports for same-day service and let us tint your windows today. Our staff has over 40 years experience and all the tools of the trade in auto denting to ensure quality service. And all of our professional window tinting for your car, truck, RV, or SUV is backed by a lifetime warranty on bubbling, peeling, and fading. Lucky's Auto Sports only uses high performance films, and all of our tint is computer cut. That means a machine cuts the tint before our technicians apply it to your vehicle's windows, so everything looks factory installed. Call us at 859-299-4411 or get a quote and download coupons at luckysautosports.com today. That's Lucky's Auto Sports, your source for window tinting, auto and truck accessories, car audio, remote starts, and more.
Here's what another satisfied customer, Ann from Lexington, has to say about Barkley Blevins. They treat me like family. I've watched John grow up over the 30-plus years they've worked with me. They've replaced water heaters, sump pumps, sewer pipes, furnaces, air conditioners, toilets, and faucets. They've done it all. And I like when the technician sits and chats with me at the kitchen table while filling out the ticket. There's no one else I would trust, and you should trust them too. Barkley Blevins Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. Check them out at barkleyblevins.com.
Suggins Bar and Grill opened its doors 30 years ago and has become a Chevy Chase tradition. It's the best in family casual dining, offering Southern comfort favorites such as fried banana peppers, award-winning homemade chili, fried catfish, and of course, their big, juicy half-pound hamburgers with toppings you choose, all at prices that will make you glad you brought the whole family. Stop by and check out their daily lunch and dinner specials made fresh daily. Suggins Bar and Grill on Romney Road, open Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m.
ESPN Sports Radio.
It's alive!
1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Here you go, Big Blue Nation. If you need more, yet another reason to hate Clay Travis, the guy who now hosts a radio show, a national radio show on Fox Sports Radio. Which is horrible. You shouldn't listen to it. It's on at the same time as Mike and Mike is on here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. But he, you know, famously, or you heard about it, he talked to the guys in Arkansas, the same guys who hated on Kentucky, on Malik Monk, hated on Malik Monk, the kid, for choosing Kentucky. And then they had Clay Travis on, and they let him right into, oh, yeah, Calipari pays his players. He just does a better job of paying them.
And he's always talking about the worst fan bases. He thinks Kentucky basketball fans are the worst fan base in America. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
So here's another reason. This morning he has tweeted, Kentucky is 1-59 in its last 60 football games against Florida and Tennessee. Sit down and shut up. Well, of course, his Volunteers lost to lowly South Carolina last night. So he's a little, his rear end's a little sore this morning. Anyway, we're switching to horse racing because the Breeders' Cup is next weekend. It's almost snuck up on me here because Keeneland felt like it went by way too fast, as it always does.
It always does.
And now it's here. Santa Anita, next weekend, Friday and Saturday, the Breeders' Cup. And here to talk about it is TVG's Caleb Keller. Good morning, Caleb.
Hi, how's it going? Thanks for having me on, guys.
Good.
Thanks for being here. All right, so Breeders' Cup. Next weekend, and the big news yesterday is that Nyquist will not run. And Doug O'Neill said he's still going to go down as the best horse he ever trained. And but he won the Derby, and of course, all Derby winners, you know, maintain some sort of legendary status because they've won the Kentucky Derby. But that's the last race he's won, and there was so much promise in Nyquist. How will he be remembered?
I think he'll be remembered as a real gritty horse. He'll go down with a list of undefeated Derby winners like Barbaro and Big Brown and Smarty Jones, and I guess even all the way back to Seattle Slough. So when you think about undefeated Derby winners, his name's right there. But then also, he'll go down on a list of horses which won the Derby and then never won again. Horses like Monarcos and Super Saver and Mind That Bird. And unfortunately, that list is pretty long itself if you want to know about the demands of winning that mile and a quarter race. But, you know, one caveat for Nyquist with him showing a lot of grit, a lot of heart, and kind of standing out his class in the spring, it was definitely not ever heralded as one of the top three-year-old classes. I mean, if you look at the speed figures this year leading up to the Derby, that was before Arrogate came along, but this three-year-old drop was about 10 points slower than usual. So Nyquist was ahead of the game. Those Uncle Mo's are very intelligent, And I think he got to show you the best part of it for just the first crop.
So now the classic without Nyquist in there. California Chrome, obviously the favorite, but Frosted right there. You mentioned Arrogate and the speed. Gunrunner is going to be fresh, I think. What do you make of this field in the classic?
It's a really exciting field. I don't really see a long shot. I think the cream's going to rise to the top. Let's see. I mean, California Chrome hasn't been beaten all year. But I got to tell you, I mean, I was just spellbound by the win by Arrogate and the Travers. Not just the win, but also just the final time. Because I'll tell y'all, I went to Saratoga the week before to cover the Alabama with Songbird. And that's a mile and a quarter race. And I remember I watched back the 1999 Alabama with a great filly for Baffert, Silver Bullet Day. And I remember watching that broadcast back, and it said that the track record was 2 minutes. I'm thinking, nobody's ever gone under 2 minutes at Saratoga. I mean, they've been racing there for 150 years. So, like, let me see if somebody's done it since 99.
Yeah.
Nobody's done it since 99. And for Arrogate to win and not even go 159-4, 159-1, I mean, I'm telling y'all, I walked across that dirt course, and that time right there, I've been in horse racing for 10 years, and that is the most unbelievable final time that I've ever seen. I've done a lot of research on it. I mean, let's put it this way. Since 2000, there's only been three other Travers that have gone under 2 minutes and 2 seconds. One of them was Point Given, one of them was Bernardini, and one of them was when American Pharoah got beat. So those were great horses to go under 202, and then now we go 159-1. I mean, sometimes you just got to trust the clock, and to me, that's actually a performance from a time perspective that I don't think I've ever seen.
So don't count Arrogate out, especially at home, right? I mean, Santa Anita, that's home, and Baffert in Santa Anita is pretty good.
Well, another thing, too, Baffert always knows the hierarchy of his barn. I mean, he knew American Pharoah was the best horse in his barn before he ever ran. I mean, he was telling that to everybody before the debut. And I've got the sense with Arrogate that he's thought the same thing. And, you know, once the Travers performance came, I started backtracking. I found an article when he won an allowance race earlier this year, a little field of five, Baffert said in the Blood Horse article, the goal is to get him to the Breeders' Cup Classic. And you think about that. You won an allowance, and you got horses like Dorman in the barn, and your goal is to get to the Classic.
Yeah.
And I know that Judmont, how about this, guys? Clear Sky Farms consigned three horses for the yearling sale a few years back. Two Tappets and one Unbridled Song. One Tappet is now a group winner overseas. The Unbridled Song was Arrogate, and the other Tappet was Mohammed. I mean, talk about someone bringing a charge to the Keeneland sale.
Yeah.
Of course, one of the things you love about the Breeders' Cup is there's just race after race after race with champion after champion after champion. Mm-hmm. But we also like to look ahead to what next year's Kentucky Derby might look like. And so can you talk about some of the two-year-olds that are in the juvenile and who to look for?
Oh, you're teeing me up, Mary Jo. I'm telling you. let's get Derby talk and probably my favorite horse for Breeders' Cup weekend all in one. And to me, it's not this time for Dale Romans. I mean, this looks like an absolute stallion. And, you know, when you hear the rumblings, you got to listen. I mean, this is all about, you know, getting a poker read, too, a little bit. And Dale Romans thought was not this time that this could be one of the best that he's ever had, or the best that he's ever had. And it's a pretty amazing story with this horse because the Allball family has been in racing for, I guess, coming up on 10 years, but at the higher level, about 3 or 4 years. Brody's Cause, a horse they own. Mm-hmm. Well, they bought an exceptional mare named Miss Macy Sue, and she would actually produce Liam's Map. Now, when they had Liam's Map, they actually did put him in the sale, so they sold him young. And obviously, Liam's Map's gone on to win a Breeders' Cup, and now he's standing at Lane's End. So, you know, mixed feelings on that. Well, then here comes Not This Time, who was by Giants Causeway, same stallion as Brody's Cause, out of Miss Macy Sue, who's the unbelievable mare that they own. So half to Liam's Map, and then the reason that he got the name was, the question is, would they sell? And the answer would be Not This Time. But I'm telling you, guys, when a horse gets to a level, and this doesn't happen too often, that's why how I know I can feel it deep down. When I get to a point where I would pay to see somebody beat a horse, then that's when I know I'm really confident because I'm going to put my money down on Not This Time and the juvenile. And if somebody beats him, I think so highly of him that in a weird way, if somebody beat him and I lost that bet, I'd like to see it.
Talking to TVG's Caleb Keller here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. What about the Oaks preview, the field for the juvenile Phillies?
We are light, and the Phillies have not turned up. Just it's kind of like last year. They're saying last year coming in, well, the boys haven't been running that fast, and they really hadn't. You know, Nyquist and Exaggerator were there, kind of stayed the same. Nothing really happened, and no sparkling time ever came about. And that's kind of what I sense with the juvenile Phillies. There's not a lot showing itself right now. There is one horse that I will give you, and this horse is a little lightly seasoned, but I think she's sitting on a big race. And Mark Cassidy's got this horse, Valadorna, for Stone Street, who actually just broke her maiden on opening day at Keeneland. And I know that they're really high on the horse. And, you know, when you get a big operation like Stone Street, and I think that might be their first horse with Cassie. Same thing with Arrogate. Judmont, I believe that's one of their first big horses with Baffert. You know they always want to do their best with that first big horse for a top client. Yeah. And Valadorna was second first out of Churchill, then came back and ran a lap around a maiden field at Keeneland. And then after I heard how much Mark liked the horse and how Julian was in town just to breeze the filly, I looked back, and on opening day, she ran the same distance as the Grade 1 Alcibiades. And if you look at the chart, she actually went faster than the Alcibiades. So, you know, people will see the Grade 1 Alcibiades at Keeneland, and that will get some play at the Breeders' Cup. But of the Keeneland horses, I'm actually going to take the Maiden Breaker in Valadorna to run a really big race. They've always thought well of that one. Barbara Banky with Stone Street has had high expectations, and I think they might be sitting on go with that one.
Well, in the juvenile fillies, there might not be the star power, but in the distaff, there is. When you've got Beholder and Songbird, can you talk? And they both worked well leading up to it. So, can you talk about that showdown?
That is a showdown. You better believe it. And I got to say, from a betting perspective, it's, you know, here's what I've heard a lot, and I would probably agree. Here's what I hear. Well, I think Songbird's gonna be too tough. Well, what if she gets beat? I'd probably say Stellar Wind. Now that'd be the equivalent of you've been at the racetrack, you've been at Keeneland, saying, who do you like? Well, I really think the favorite's going to win. Well, if it's not the favorite, who do you think? I think it's probably the second choice. You know, it's just like, it's a great race for the fans, and it's, you know, we're only going to find out. I mean, you can't dig enough, you can't watch enough workout, enough film to try to find the winner. It's only going to come out on the racetrack. Songbird, to me, I've actually heard from Mike Smith that at one point in a race, he kind of let her out a notch a little bit. She's always just cruising. He let her out a notch, and the initial reaction to Mike almost scared him, so he wrangled her back in. So she's got so much at the bottom of the well that they haven't dug to. But, you know, Beholder, probably tough for me to make her my check mark, as much as I love that filly.
Yeah.
Once those fillies take a couple of defeats, it's tough for them to get back. But Stellar Wind is the one that gets a great setup. She's rigid. She's coming along. Keep in mind, she was the favorite in the Kentucky Oaks. And by the way, when you look at the form, when it comes out, look at her comment in the Kentucky Oaks, 9 wide. You're not going to win the Kentucky Oaks 9 wide. But,
right.
You know, I unfortunately, as I'm picking on the fans that were given favorite in the second choice, it kind of looks like that. Songbird, let's see if somebody can beat her. If it would happen, I'd say the Stellar Wind would have a chance to gun her down late.
All right, before you go, give us one more of these races, or just another storyline or something that's intriguing to you that we should be looking for.
How about the turf? All right, let's look at the turf.
Okay.
You got Flincher, who's a pretty strong favorite. And for whatever reason, Aiden O'Brien, you know, we'll see one of these days, maybe, I guess he has had some of his turf horses around the dirt, but Found, who's the defending turf champion, is now going to run the Classic. So that takes a big player out of the turf. And you look at Flincher, who has been kind of head over the heels of the competition here in America. Chad Brown has done a great job with this one. Last start, though, he was kind of a flat second, beating 9th, 6 lengths on the grass. That race, I'm totally tossing out. They've said all along that Flincher wants to run on firm ground. So his last prep at Belmont was over a soft, yielding bog. They actually talked about scratching him, but Chad Brown said he wanted to run him regardless. And then the horse that won is a good front runner who likes soft ground, who actually had some previous class. He had beaten a horse like Caracanti, who won the Breeders' Cup Mile, and he just loved soft going and went the whole way. So, yes, Flincher got beat last time and actually kind of ran up the score, got beat 6 lengths. I don't even care about it. He'll get back to firm turf. He'll get back to speed to run at. And this is a horse that's never really missed a beat. So I think Flincher probably went from 7-5 to 2-1 after that defeat. But that's one of those defeats leading into the Breeders' Cup that I'm just really not that worried about.
Hey, Caleb, thank you so much. I think we all feel a little bit better about making our bets now for next weekend. But it should be a great weekend.
As always, thanks for having me on, and I'll talk to you guys again soon.
Thank right. you. Caleb Thank Keller you. From TVG here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
He was talking about the turf in Flintshire, but I wanted to ask him, I'm feeling this horse, the Big Hoss.
The Big Hoss.
I mean, how can you not like that horse?
Yeah, I know.
We'll be back with more UK football talk. Coming up at 10 o'clock, Jen Smith from the Lexington Herald Leader. She was in Columbia, Missouri yesterday for that big win. But more UK football talk when we come back. 381-1313 is the number to call here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Command and conquer.
That's really what you want to do when it comes to cleaning your home or office. You want to say, this is what needs to be done, and then you want it done, and you want it done well. That's why Command & Conquer Cleaning has so many satisfied customers. You tell them what you want done, and they take care of the rest. Cleaning your home or office with satisfaction guaranteed. Call or text 859-302-0142, 859-302-0142 for your free consultation and quote. Command & Conquer Cleaning provides a quality job at the most affordable prices. Locally owned and operated, so you get service unmatched in the business. Call or text Lori today for your free consultation and quote at 859-302-0142. That's 859-302-0142.
Command and conquer.
That's how cleaning should be.
I couldn't get work opportunities without a high school diploma.
And I said, it's time for me to go back to school, get my GED, and further my education.
It was a feeling that I cannot explain. Once I received that GED, I decided to keep going to college and do something.
My son and I, we are stable. I pay the bills. I'm able to do all that because I got my GED.
Kentucky Adult Education, your future starts here. Contact your local Kentucky Adult Education Center today to begin building skills for credentials, college, and career. This ad sponsored by Kentucky Adult Education.
Shouldn't you have a checking account that makes your life easier? Introducing Easy Checking from Republic Bank. Relax with no minimum balance or monthly maintenance fees. Easily send money through our app with Mobile Pop Money. Log into your account by scanning your finger or eye with your smartphone. And for easy access to your money, you can use 85,000 surcharge-free ATMs worldwide. Easy checking for your hard-earned money. We're Republic Bank, and it's just easier here. $50 required to open checking account. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Crossing routes, deep ball, Johnson lays it up and lays it out for Jeff Badette. Touchdown, Kentucky, 65-yard strike.
That's why I just asked him right now, are we satisfied? Is that it? Are we satisfied with this, or are we going to go take it to another level? And that's what I love coaching about them. That's, they want to go to work. You know, I want them to enjoy it. They should. And the music's on in there, and they're having fun, and they should. But tonight, go home and watch somebody else sweat. And relax, and let's get back to work on Monday and not be satisfied. And so that's our mindset.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Joe on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
And that's the attitude you got to have if you're Mark Stoops, because it's right there for the taking. I mean, if this is the most perfect year for Kentucky to have a shot at this thing.
You know, and I think a lot of people outside of Kentucky and inside of Kentucky really want to make the case that, oh my gosh, well, the East is so far down. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to argue that, but this is not the first time the East has been down. There have been plenty of years where it hasn't been blowing people away.
Yeah.
And Kentucky wasn't able to capitalize in a lot of those years. So, I mean, what do good teams do? They beat the teams they're supposed to beat.
Yeah.
That's how you move up the ladder. So tonight and tomorrow when I go trick-or-treating and I'm just going to put on a UK jersey – and just say I'm going as the SEC East champs. Can we do that? Is it, that
because is it a trick or a treat?
Very good, Dan.
But that's what's ahead of you now. You are essentially, I know, regardless of the standings.
Look, do we really think they're going to win the East? I think Florida's still going to do that. But they're in the conversation, and if they finish second in the SEC East.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Regardless of the standings themselves, it's Florida, Tennessee, Georgia. It's those three. It's been those three for all time. Mm-hmm. South Carolina snuck in there when Tennessee went down. All right, but here Kentucky has a chance. All right, they couldn't get it done against Florida, so Florida's above them. But Tennessee and Georgia, you have a chance to prove one-on-one against them that you're either the third best or the second best team or the fourth in the SEC East. And if you can get the third best, you've really done something, because that means you've won five SEC games for the first time since 1977.
Let me ask you this. If next Saturday was Kentucky versus Florida, what does that game look like to you in your mind now?
I think it looks like a 10-point game maybe instead. Like maybe a...
Like Florida still wins.
Yes.
I think Florida still wins too, but I don't think it's an embarrassment.
I think it's a 24-10. I mean, that was Georgia. That was the score yesterday, but I think that's because I think one of the touchdowns is Florida getting a turnover and making it a touchdown, because that's a Kentucky problem, Kentucky issue.
I also don't think Florida would allow nearly 400 yards rushing.
Well, didn't Missouri, was it Missouri that ran for 2-something against Florida?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Kentucky would still, I think, be able to run for maybe 200 yards or something against Florida and control the clock, and that's why it would bring the score down. But that first game, Florida scored 4 touchdowns on UK turnovers.
Yeah.
28-0 on turnovers. I think it would just be 7-0 maybe this time, or 10-0 this time, turnover-wise. And they wouldn't be as, I don't know, shocked or just out of it. I mean, they were still reeling from the Southern Miss loss, trying to figure stuff out, and then they had that give up. I mean, you remember afterwards, Stoops said, look, I'm going to promise you this. We're not going to, as he would say, mill around out there. When you see us play, it's going to be hard, physical effort. You're going to see all those things. We didn't have any of that there. If we're going to get our tails kicked, we're at least going to fight.
Yeah, he admitted after that game, after the first sack, that they just were shell-shocked and it was just kind of over from there.
Right.
But, yeah, I do think it would look different.
Absolutely, it would look different. But let's just take a look at some of this history. All right, it's the first time Kentucky's had 4 SEC wins since 06, just the second time since 99. So that's big in and of itself. This is the first time UK has 3 wins over the SEC East since it split into the East and the West. Are you kidding me?
I know.
That's insane. It's the longest conference winning streak since 1999, because it's 3 straight SEC victories. The losing streak on the road. Stoops has won 2 games on the road in the SEC, or he's won 2 road games, period, both in Columbia, one in the South Carolina variety and one in Missouri. The other thing that was interesting...
Are we still the only East team that has a win over the West?
Let's see. I think that's right.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of, Florida hasn't.
Because they'll play LSU.
Yeah, Tennessee hasn't. Georgia hasn't. Yeah, and those other teams definitely haven't. Yeah, still the only one over Mississippi State. I mean, so that's obviously pretty cool. And then the stat, 7-for-7 on fourth down in SEC play. I loved it that they went for it on fourth down. 7-for-7 on fourth down. 582 yards of offense. That's the most since against Vanderbilt in 2010. Second, Oh, okay. This is the one I was looking for. It's the first time UK's gone back-to-back 500-yard games versus SEC teams since 2001. So you think back-to-back, they're doing it on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't how Mummy's air raid, where you put up 600 yards of offense.
Which I feel like everyone's just been trying to replicate in some way or fashion ever since then. And this is truly how you win in this league.
This is ground and pound and 500 yards in back-to-back games of offense. The 377 rushing yards is the most against an SEC opponent since rushing for 409 yards against Vanderbilt in 1953. Jen Smith of the Herald Leader joins us next on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Hey, sports fans, football season is here, and it's time to get in on the action. MyBookie.lv is an industry-leading website that offers real Vegas odds on football, baseball, and all major sporting events. At MyBookie, you can take the side, total, or even player props. We are not afraid to take a wager. MyBookie has high-limit wagering on all major events, in-game live play, quick and easy payouts, and the best VIP customer service in the industry, guaranteed. Call 844-900-2387 or visit us online at mybookie.lv. Your local guy might shy away from a few dimes. Why not make your play at MyBookie? Call 844-900-BETS or go online to mybookie.lv to open an account and start winning today. Bet with the biggest, win with the best, only at mybookie.lv. Sign up today.
Welcome to Nick Ryan's, where sophisticated dining meets fun. We invite you to come and treat yourself to lunch or dinner in our beautiful Southern-style dining room. Come see us today. We're located at 157 Jefferson Street. Try our homemade soups, unique fresh salads, or a local favorite entree for a lunch to remember. For dinner, let Nick Ryan's exceed your expectations with house favorites like shrimp and grits, braised beef short ribs, or bourbon brine fried chicken. Come visit Nick Ryan's for their Saturday brunch and enjoy our Bloody Mary Bar from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Nick Ryan's also features slow roasted prime rib every Wednesday night. Open Monday through Saturday at 157 Jefferson Street. For reservations, call 233-7900 or visit nickryans.com. That's 233-7900. Or make an easy online reservation at nickryans.com.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, WLHG Lexington, and LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
The CMA Awards live Wednesday, 8, 7 Central on ABC.
The NFL on ESPN Radio.
The Vikings head to Chicago still trying to fix an offensive line that has been a problem for the better part of the season and gave up 6 sacks on Sunday in Philadelphia. Coach Mike Zimmer said the Vikings' offensive line was soft, and while he made it clear that wasn't the Vikings' only offensive problem, the line figures to be the biggest issue the Vikings face going forward.
This NFL Nation Report is brought to you by Exxon. The NFL on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, WLHG Lexington, and LM Communications Broadcasting Station.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi, the NFL from London. Redskins got on the board first with a Rob Kelly 4-yard touchdown run. Bengals just answered with a TD by Giovanni Bernard. Washington and Cincinnati tied at 7 in the first quarter. Now the latest injury news. Patriots tight end Martellus Bennett, receiver Julian Edelman expected to play today against the Bills. Buffalo running back LeSean McCoy not expected to play. Packers receiver Randall Cobb not expected to play. Texans running back Lamar Miller is expected to play. Seahawks defensive end Michael Bennett will have arthroscopic knee surgery this week, is expected to miss 2 to 3 weeks. The Steelers' bye week certainly helping out receiver Antonio Brown. He texted ESPN's Adam Schefter, his hip pointer getting better. The extra week of rest will likely let Brown recover enough to play against the Ravens 1 week from today. Pittsburgh QB Ben Roethlisberger hoping to return against the Ravens from knee surgery, but a source tells Adam Schefter Roethlisberger's return is probably more like a few weeks away. Terry Francona, one win away from ending a decades-long World Series drought for another franchise. His Indians have a 3-1 lead on the Cubs thanks to last night's 7-2 victory in Game 4. Of course, Francona guided the Red Sox to their first World Series title in 86 years back in 2004, as well as a second one in 2007. Francona sends Trevor Bauer in the potential clincher in Game 5 of the Fall Classic tonight against Chicago's John Lester. 7 Eastern, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app. NBA Lakers rookie Brandon Ingram with a knee injury probable tonight in Oklahoma City. Timberwolves point guard Ricky Rubio will have his sprained right elbow evaluated today.
The Indians are one game away from winning the World Series. Game 5 on ESPN Radio Sunday night. A reaction to it all Monday with Tim Kirkchin on the Halloween edition of Mike and Mike. 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
You know, if you're like me, about 2 or 3 times a week, you think, man, I'd love some pizza. And when that happens, there's only one place to go. It's a neighborhood place. It's the original Brooklyn Pizza. It's right over there on Clay's Mill and Keithshire. Families love it. Everybody loves it. They have great food, great entrees, fresh salads, and the best pizza anywhere. Keno and a full bar. It's the original Brooklyn Pizza on Clay's Mill and Keithshire.
One of the great things about little boys and little girls is when they grow up, they want to be just like you. So to moms and dads, aunts and uncles, and grandparents everywhere, remember this. The next time you get in the car and don't buckle your seatbelt, a little boy is watching. And when you decide to text or dial and talk while driving, a little girl is watching your every move. And when you head down the road with a beer or cocktail in the car, that little person next to you is taking it all in. In this life, you have an awesome responsibility to those children who love you the most and want to be you in every way. So make a pledge today to be a good role model to these kids and their friends so that that little boy and that little girl get to grow up and be just like you. Morgan & Morgan, for our children.
Offices Lexington.
Welcome to the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Joe Perino.
It's funny that's become the theme song.
I know. I love it.
I do. I love it too. Huge win for UK and on the line. Well, wait, I'm sorry. Actually, I did that on purpose just to mess with you. We're going to talk with Jen Smith of Lexington Herald Leader. We're getting her on the phone right now, but our man Josh is on top of it. The Citrus Drop Warrior.
I feel like Josh hung up on her.
No, he just forgot to. She's probably.
I heard him call.
Yeah, I got her.
Oh, you did get her on the phone?
Yeah.
Oh, something happened. Her order at Josie's probably came in, and she's like, breakfast or the Dan and Mary Joe Show breakfast.
Which I would choose that every time.
Oh, absolutely. Have you had their biscuits and gravy?
Yeah.
Ooh, some of the best. I found this out. I got to say this. Biscuits and gravy time. Alfalfa's. I've had their biscuits and gravy I don't know how many times. So good. The one twist they put on it is they have tomatoes, fresh diced tomatoes in there, which kind of gives it a little tartness, livens it up a little bit. Love it. It's great. Plus, the biscuits are excellent.
I do apologize.
I found out that it's meatless. I had no idea. I swore it was sausage gravy. I swore there was sausage chunks in it.
Perfect.
So what is it?
I don't know. But it's just, it's meatless. It's vegan. I'm eating vegan biscuits and gravy.
I bet you never thought you'd say that.
I didn't. But it seems like sacrilege to have biscuits and gravy without meat. But, I mean, they are so good, it does not matter. I care not. Taste them, you'll see. So now we have Jen. All right, good deal. Jen Smith from the Lexington Herald Leader joining us now on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Jen, I first want to apologize for Josh, our producer.
No, actually, I think my phone dropped. I was in a weird, like, valley. And I think that my phone dropped on him. So
yeah, let him off the hook.
We are trying to get him fired, and you are not helping the cause.
I think I would go with like eating cardboard board over vegan anything. That just sounded disgusting. Vegan biscuits and gravy.
It's the same. Cardboard is vegan.
But you've eaten it at Alfalfa's, right?
Yeah, not vegan. Biscuits and gravy.
Well, it doesn't say that it's vegan. It doesn't say you just order the biscuits and gravy, and then that hat, and then the server goes, "Oh yeah, you're gonna love it. It's meatless." I'm like, "What?" But I mean, it was the umpteenth time that I had had it, so that didn't deter me after that. But you know,
did you eat it with a side of sausage or bacon? That's my question.
I ate it with a side of, I don't know, an entree, one of their specials, like a, you know, frittata or something, or a breakfast burrito, or the Peter and Jake, which is like two eggs and their potatoes, and I don't know what else. I usually get a single flapjack too, because they make the special. I'm just doing an advertisement for Alfalfa.
One of everything.
Here. Yeah. Hey, we do have in Lexington some great breakfast spots. I'm just saying that's one of them right there. You can't go wrong. Pick anything off that board that has their chalkboard that they write on the breakfast special.
I'm the same way with Josie's. I do. Everything Josie's? I've had there has been good.
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I'm a breakfast
potato. to the game.
Oh, there was a game.
Yes. You wouldn't know by the crowd.
Did you have smooth travel, though? Was it smooth? I mean, every time you guys travel so much, it seems like the percentages are against you for smooth travel.
I don't know yet. I haven't gotten to the airport. We shall find out.
But that's like a Jen Smith thing.
I don't know.
I feel like some people get back and you don't. Like, remember the ice storm in Dallas? Of course, I remember that. But I feel like you were the only like Lexington media member just stranded there for a week.
It sounds like John Hale might be stuck in Missouri for another day or so because his flight broke down and the crew to repair it from Arkansas has not arrived yet. So, yeah, not me. Just more about it on Twitter than other people, I guess.
Listen, Columbia and Missouri are beautiful places. There's plenty to do. I could point some things out. But I digress. You were in a very happy post-game session with Coach Stoops and the players. Did you get the sense that they now really believe this thing can happen?
I think that while the rest of us sort of laughed at them, that they believe this could happen even after the Florida debacle. I mean, they all sort of said that, and we all sort of nodded and smiled like, you know, we thought they might be a little bit crazy. And then I think that they honestly believe they could be a better team than that. I think they've always honestly believed that. And I think that the rest of us are just catching up now.
Well, to do what they're doing on the ground is just, it's really...
It's historical.
Yeah, it's nothing Kentucky has done really at any time that we've been old enough to pay attention and see them playing football. It's pretty special.
And yesterday it was all but 3 yards of it were Boom and Benny. I mean, they were, you know, Steven Johnson ran twice, you know, and I think that so much of what we've talked about with the run game this year has been because of the run pass threat that Steven provides, that really throws defenses off balance. And, you know, he didn't even have to run. I guess just the threat of him being able to run sort of helps. But it was all Benny and all Boom, and it was all day. I mean, they just ran it right down their throat. And, you know, they did a lot of really interesting, inventive stuff out of the Wildcat package, which I wrote about last week, how they've tried to kind of trick things up a little bit and make it more interesting. You know, they've done an amazing job. And I think so much that, you know, I talked about the Steven Johnson part, but, I mean, you have to think so much of this is related to Benny. I mean, I don't know that Kentucky has ever had a runner that could close out a game the way that Benny Snell can close out a game.
And he's a true freshman.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the exciting part for me is we get this guy. We get this guy for a while. And, you know,
this whole team, there's only 11 seniors on it.
He has, I mean, impressed everyone. Hashtag Snell, yeah. I mean, I don't even know how to explain what he's doing. But the offensive line has had a big part in it. I mean, we can't forget about them. They had a great day yesterday.
Yeah, I really, that group is probably the one that gets talked about the least, and it's because they're not, you know, sort of the face of the program the way that it goes. But you know, that group goes 9 deep now. The only person that leaves is John Toth, when he graduates this year, which will be a huge loss. But, you know, you feel like this group has really found some chemistry, some connection, some, you know, something that they've built on. I wrote a couple of weeks ago about something that I thought was super interesting about that group, which is a couple of years ago, they would just sort of do their own work and do their own job. And now they go into film sessions two or three times a week and critique each other. Hmm. And they say, hey, look at what you were doing on this. This was wrong. You could do this and it would be better. And all of them, none of them take it personally. All of them sort of get in the room and just sort of work together. And I think that's really indicative of the sort of group that they have. It's mature, it's selfless, and it's helped Kentucky immensely.
You know, with what Mark Stoops has been through in his first 3 years and then the early part of this season, then that whole nastiness that came up, everything that he's dealt with, last week you could see, I thought, a sense of relief, a real sense of joy, a sense of not that we've arrived, but we've maybe gone over the hump the way they won the game against Mississippi State. And then coming in here against Missouri, he even said it wasn't relief. And it didn't seem that way. It seemed like we knew we were a better football team, and we came in here and did what we thought we could do. And we're not just, I mean, it's not over. I mean, we still have some wins ahead of us. So this is exactly what we thought was going to happen. And now that we're here, there's not a monkey off my back or anything. It might be news to you guys, but I knew this all along.
Right. You know, Courtney Love brought up a really interesting point. When he was at SEC Media Days, everybody was like, so a bowl game is the goal, right? A bowl game is the goal. A bowl game is the goal. And Courtney kept saying, and JoJo, you know, to his account too, they all kept saying, we want more than a bowl game. Like, 6 wins is not what we think this team can do. This team can do more. And, you know, there's a big group of thousands of media that cover the SEC, you know, have covered SEC for so long. They know historically what Kentucky has done versus what those players are saying. And, you know, I think that there's a sort of snicker behind the scenes from people around the SEC when a Kentucky player says, hey, we're going to win 4-plus SEC games, or we're going to get to a bowl that's bigger than Shreveport. You know, I mean, I think that all the people that were sort of looking at these goals and just hoping that Kentucky gets to a bowl, this group collectively has thought they could do better than that. And I think that's part of the thing that drives them.
So now you look and Georgia's obviously in a tailspin. Tennessee loses to South Carolina. How are you feeling right now? I mean, do you think this could be a 7-win team? Dare I say 8?
I think 7 is possible. I think it's, you know, certainly attainable. You know, and then when, you know, you get to a bowl game, does that give you the 8th win? Or are you saying regular season?
Well, I'm just saying if Kentucky beats Georgia, and then I think we can all agree they're not going to, you know, trip up against Austin Peay.
Yeah, 0-8 Austin Peay. And then it's at Tennessee and at Louisville are the other two games.
Yeah. So, I mean, if they win, beat Georgia and Austin Peay, they're feeling real good about themselves.
Well, yeah. And I think that suddenly the extension that Mark Stoops got before the Missouri game 2 years ago, you know, doesn't look so bad 2 years later.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it's not crazy now. It's not crazy to think that Kentucky could beat Georgia. It's not crazy to think if South Carolina can beat Tennessee, there's no reason Kentucky can't beat Tennessee. If Virginia and Duke can play Louisville within a possession, then Kentucky can be competitive with Louisville as it has been the past 2 years and have a chance in that game. And obviously 0-8 Austin Peay is not going to be a challenge. So it just sets up to where this is real talk coming from these guys, and there's a sense of belief there.
Yeah, and I think that all of us have to start believing, you know, they were probably right. I mean, there's no question in my mind they're going to beat Austin Peay. You know, I think Duke really laid out a blueprint for how you can compete with Louisville, and that's something Kentucky is built to do. They're built to grind out a win, to run it, to control the time of possession. I mean, I think Kentucky had 40 minutes of possession in the last game. It was like 39-26. And I think that Kentucky, because of its run game that we talked about earlier, is sort of built to go against a Louisville team that needs to be slowed down, that needs to sort of plot out a win the way that Duke attempted to do a couple weeks ago.
And what's impressed me most with Eddie Grand this year is I think so many times, and there's been so many changes in offenses, in schemes over the last, not just in the Mark Stoops era, but just over the course of the last decade, so many different, so many changes. And oftentimes it's whatever the offensive coordinator wants to run, he runs, and he may not necessarily have the personnel for that. I think Eddie Grand has adjusted what his system is to fit the guys he's got. And that's what I really appreciate about him. He's not forcing his, what he thinks works, down these players' throats if they're not equipped to do it. And he's adjusting himself to the guys he's got around him. And I think in the last 2 or 3 weeks, you can really see that beginning to work.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you mentioned the last couple decades of coordinators doing that. Now, just in this season alone, Eddie and Darren Henshaw have had to really remake the offense. I mean, they lost who they thought was going to be one of their top left tackles at one point. They lost their starting quarterback. You know, the things that they thought that they would be great at in the beginning of the season, you know, they've had to really adjust to. You know, they really thought they had a senior-laden wide receiver group, but, you know, that group probably deserves a little more, you know, praise for really not being a part of an air raid anymore. They've suddenly had to become really good at run blocking in the last few weeks to win games. So I think that Eddie has gotten guys to buy in that maybe the system doesn't really help them as much. And the fact that they've had to sort of reverse course when Barker went out and really change the way that they play, you know, playing to Steven Johnson's strengths in a lot of ways, and then Boom and Benny, you know, I think that that's a big plus. And he's not only been able to do that like during the course of the season, but, you know, game by game, even with the personnel that they have available.
Well, before we let you go, anything that stood out to you in post game, any comments or any takeaways there before we go?
You know, I just think that it's sort of what I wrote about today, just that the satisfaction is not there. Like they sort of poo-pooed the idea that they were satisfied and that 6 games would be enough or 5 wins would be enough. And, you know, I think Blake McLean said 5 wins, you know, being satisfied with 5 wins was so 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I just thought that was hilarious. It was like, we're so beyond that now. Mm-hmm. And I think that they believe it and they mean it. And I think we're going to see it in the next couple of weeks.
Hey, well, Jen, safe travels. Tell John we're thinking about him in Columbia there. And thanks for making time for us.
Thank you, Jen.
Sure. Have a good day, guys.
All right, you too. Jen Smith there from the Lexington Herald Leader. Look, you think the job is glamorous. You think that covering sports is glamorous. And look.
You think you know.
At the time that you're sitting there watching a football game, and that's your job. Okay, and then you're talking to the players and the coaches afterward, and then you're writing about it. That's your job. Okay. That is not a bad job, that part. But there's so much else that goes on behind the scenes with the media business side of things. And then the travel. Travel is glamorous, you think. Like, let's say, last night in Columbia. That game was over at, 3:30?
Yeah.
4 o'clock. Okay, you're done.
She's still there.
You're done working, you know, 7 or 8 o'clock. And she's still there. She hasn't gotten home. She has kids, you know, a husband and kids at home. So, I know, you're going, play me a violin, the smallest one in the world, for all the sports writers and sports broadcasters out there. But there's another side of it, too, and it looks like John Hale's not going to get home to see his wife for another day. All right, back with more here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The NFL on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Presented by Paul Miller Ford, 975 East New Circle Road. And also brought to you by MLS Power Sports, 1030 Paris Pike in Georgetown. The Boot Store, just south of Man of War on Nicholasville Road. Truck and Auto Extras, 1098 East New Circle Road. Banks Floor Covering, 1117 Winchester Road. Barkley Blevins Plumbing Heating and Air, 939 Winchester Road. And Danville Foreign Cars and Recreation, 1227 Lebanon Road in Danville. The NFL on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
McLean Grocery in Nicholasville is growing and has openings for full-time distribution center positions starting between $13 per hour and $14 per hour. Third shift forklift positions are also available. If you desire steady full-time work with full benefits, including 401k match and a competitive hourly rate, visit McLean at 1040 Baker Lane in Nicholasville, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. to apply in person or apply online at McLeanCo.com/careers. That's 1040 Baker Lane, Monday through Friday from 8 to 5, or visit McLeanCo.com/careers.
Shouldn't you have a checking account that makes your life easier? Introducing Easy Checking from Republic Bank. Relax with no minimum balance or monthly maintenance fees. Easily send money through our app with Mobile Pop Money. Log into your account by scanning your finger or eye with your smartphone. And for easy access to your money, you can use 85,000 surcharge-free ATMs worldwide. Easy Checking for your hard-earned money. We're Republic Bank, and it's just easier here. $50 required to open checking account. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Ride in your truck with style. On the road, off the road. That's the lifted life. Let your truck work for you. On the farm, on the job site. That's the lifted life. Take your truck out to play. At the lake, on the trail. That's the lifted life. Your truck is a part of you, whether it's for style, work, or play. So why not have the best of the best? Lucky's Off-Road is the truck accessories authority for getting you that lifted life. Lucky's installs everything you need to pull that boat, conquer that mountain, or function on that construction site. Suspension lifts, wheels and tires, winches, trailer hitches, toolboxes, bed covers, floor mats, step bars, bed liners, ladder racks, brush guards, vent visors, LED light bars, audio, video, you name it. Lucky's Off-Road has got it. Visit our showroom. Call Lucky's Off-Road at 859-299-4411 or get a quote at luckysoffroad.com today. Why? Because you deserve that lifted life.
Month of November in first place in the SEC East. To finish this one off, and they turn to Benny Snell to do so. First play of the fourth quarter is a touchdown splash for Snell.
It was one of the things that I just talked about. And I very rarely single out guys or give them game balls or any of that, but I've started with how about Boone and Benny both almost at 200 pieces, what I understand. Somebody said it was pretty close, but again, you have to give that credit to the offensive line, a big, big, big piece of it. Those guys, and when I noticed, I really noticed them finishing blocks. I saw them really playing physical and enjoying that. And, so they're playing extremely hard, they're playing smart. And, the offensive staff and Eddie and the whole crew has really set things up nicely. And that's what teams do. That's what good teams do.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Hey, fellas, I think it needs more cowbell.
I got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell.
How dare you question the great Bruce Dickinson?
You can't hear that song and not.
Never again.
Never again.
Once they did that, that is the only thing I hear when that song comes on.
Oh, and I just see the cutoff shirt.
Yeah. The other thing that song always reminds me of is there's only one person who does this or says this to me. It's fine. I don't have a problem with it. But Dave Baker always goes, "Don't fear the reaper." You know, "Don't fear the reaper" when he sees me. "Ah, don't fear the reaper." It always cracks me up.
That's awesome.
It's good. It's a good, nice play on words there.
Do you hear like a different tone to Mark Stoops' voice?
Yeah.
Even from the two previous wins, he said it's not relief. You can hear that in his voice.
Confident.
The other two wins, I felt like, were relief. And part of that was the Mississippi State game came down to the final second. So there is a sense of relief when you win in that manner. But it was much more confident.
That game against Mississippi State, just like I said it then, the win over Mississippi State cannot be overstated. And don't take that to mean beating Mississippi State. Take that to mean that Kentucky was in total control of a game late.
But they were down, or they were down at first.
Yes. I mean, in the second half, they scored on every single possession except the fumble return touchdown. But they were in control. They were putting this game away. They were going in for a third to take a three-score lead. And what happens to Kentucky happened to Kentucky again. A fumble, a touchdown, something crazy. The game goes the other way. Then Mississippi State takes the lead, the momentum, and here's Kentucky doing what Kentucky does again. That's happening. We're all seeing it. There's 9 seconds left. That's 51-yard field goal. No, this isn't happening. This is what Kentucky does. They didn't. They overcame that. That's why Boom is crying afterward. That's why Benny is crying afterward. I mean, that's why Mark Stoops looks like, you know, a 3,000-pound weight has been lifted off of his back afterward celebrating. It was the way they won it, what happened, what they were able to overcome. It truly was a we have gotten over the hump moment. This is not happening to us anymore because we did it against Vanderbilt, overcame the adversity, and now we really were up against it against Mississippi State. And so by the time they get to Missouri, it's like we've seen what we needed to see on film this week, and we've prepared the way we've prepared, and we know we're the better football team. And really, we're disappointed that we let them make it a 35-21 game. That's more of what I felt from them was we're more disappointed that we didn't play even better, and we're looking forward to this chance to
play even better.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just sounded totally different.
And I know this sounds crazy. This sounds so crazy. But if you think of game sevens, okay, anything could happen in a game seven. Anything. Once you get to that point, whatever that was, if it was 3-1, if it was 3-0, whatever, once you get to the game seven, it's one game and anything can happen. I think Kentucky has 3-1 game, game sevens left. With a Georgia, that's at home. Anything can happen. You're at Tennessee. Yeah, we know all the history there. But Tennessee has shown that
vulnerability.
Yes, that it can be beat. And maybe they start going the other way. Maybe something else happens in the locker room. You don't know what all could be going on. There's another one. Louisville has shown that, you know, against Virginia and against Duke. And they're not, they can't handle this. Kentucky has shown it can handle a running quarterback a little bit better. Lamar Jackson's not going to do what he did against them last year. I just don't see him crushing them the way he did last year, just taking off and running all over them. He may get his yards, but he's not going to destroy them. So you got three game sevens. It sounds ridiculous to be able to win them all, but they could. And if they did,
oh my God,
can you imagine this?
Mm-mm. No.
Two more SEC wins, and you're talking 6-2. You win the rest of these games, and you're going to a great bowl game.
And that great bowl game is the people in charge of it are like, what? Kentucky?
And if you won that bowl game, you could have 10 wins for the first time since 77.
But I really got to see, honestly, what the turnout is at the Georgia game, because there was so much overwhelming negativity at the beginning of the year, that I do think there is a you know, faction of people who are thinking, oh, great, now they for sure won't fire Stoops.
Right.
You know,
yeah, I know.
They may be, you know, a small minority, but there are still people that want there to be a change.
And that's not going to happen now.
It's not going to happen.
Get over it. It's not going to happen.
But I wonder, because I didn't see the, you know, the crowd at Mississippi State when you thought that things were turning around. You know, I'm anxious to see what it looks like at Georgia, or when Georgia comes here next weekend. I really hope it's a big time crowd.
It should be. I mean, it really should be. That there's a reason to come out and support this team because of what they're doing. Georgia would be a huge win. Again, we're talking about five SEC wins. It's something a lot of you, a lot of Kentucky fans that have gone to these games for many, many years, have never seen. This would be a chance for you to see that for the first time.
Here is what the weather looks like right now. That, man, what did you do that for? I'm trying to pull this up on the app. Give me the 15-day for next Saturday.
Dan, you can't predict what the weather's going to be 15 days from now.
It's not 15 days. I don't know why I was saying that. It's only 6. So Kentucky, Georgia, next Saturday.
Pull up the map for the weather of December.
Are you ready for this? Sunny, 65 degrees. Clear skies, low of 43.
Perfect.
You can't beat that.
No.
For a November 5th game?
No.
Oh, the tailgating, it's a 7:30 kickoff. So you can start tailgating and have all day long in a beautiful sunny skies. The wind's only about 9 miles per hour. It's not going to be that windy. Perfect day for grilling out there and chilling in the
grilling and chilling in the
parking lot. And then you got a 7:30 kickoff. It's going to get a little chilly then, down into the 40s, but nothing that, you know, a toboggan and a coat. It's not going to be snowing. It's not going to be wind chill.
That's football weather, people.
It's fine. And you got Georgia coming in that's vulnerable. I mean, it's huge. That should be sold.
By the way, it should be sold out. I wish you could see every time we say something good or positive or whatever, you look over at Josh and he dabs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's happening.
But it's not, I know this is radio, but it's not just like the dab. Like he has a full 180 arm rotation. He's got a whole thing and then dabs.
Yeah, it's what a white person does with the dab. There's nothing cool about it. There's nothing like...
It's what man buns do.
Yeah.
Did I tell you guys what I was for Halloween day at work?
No, I didn't hear about this.
I was dab man.
So you just dabbed?
I dabbed everyone all day. It was awesome.
That's not a costume.
Yeah, no, I had a mask and a cape and everything.
That's like Adam Sandler. I'm smiley guy. Look at me smile. Give me some candy. You can't be dab man. That's not a thing.
Dab man.
I created him because there's this guy that dresses up every Friday as Batman, and I was like, well, I'm going to be dab man. So
you work with somebody who dresses up as Batman every Friday.
Every Friday. And I declared every Monday to be dab day. You know, so... Like I'll
be it known, every Monday is dab day.
Yes.
Did you work at the circus? Or
no.
A fair?
I wish. I almost ran away when I was a kid to work for the circus.
Where is it that...
You do have small hands.
I do. Ridiculously small hands.
But they allow this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. To happen. Like, we'll be giving tours of the facility, and I'll stand up, and I'll look them in the eye, and... I'll dab them.
Wow. Wow.
Just dab on them, Dan. Dabber Dan, that's it.
Dabber Dan.
That's a thing now.
It's not a thing. It's absolutely not a thing. Good grief. Just when I could have, you know, I thought that I couldn't think any lower of Josh. He tells me that he went as dab man.
I know.
Oh, my gosh. I got to say this, though. At work, allowing that to happen, that's a good thing. So many more companies, businesses, would find out that it's an investment in your people. You would learn that being a jerk... And putting pressure on people that's just unbelievable may not be the way to go to get that person to do anything for you. Like, you know what? I'm not going to go the extra mile today because I absolutely hate you.
And it's little things. Like, you know what? Once every 6 months, say, guys, I'm getting pizza brought in.
Yeah.
Yeah. That goes a long way.
I tell you what, on Friday, you want to dress up like Batman? Go ahead. Do it.
There was no better night for me working in TV sports than what's coming up next Tuesday. And that's election night. Or a week from Tuesday. Because on election night...
Yeah, they brought in
food. They brought in so much food, and I had absolutely nothing to do. So they brought in food because the crews and people answering the phones and stuff don't have time to eat dinner.
Right.
And I had all the time in the world. And I must have had like 25 pieces of pizza every election night.
I was always like, I appreciated it, but I was always like somewhat bitter about it because I felt like, oh, you don't have time for dinner on this particular night. Welcome to my day every day. Thank you for feeding me today.
I'd always feel kind of bad when the guys in production, because they'd have to be doing cut-ins all night.
Right,
they couldn't leave their positions, would finally get a 10-minute break and come back to the break room to find the pizza, to find me 3 boxes deep with sauce all over my face. And and they'd be like, is there any left? I'm like, oh, I thought you already ate. You guys got already get some?
The pepperoni's good, by the way. The one with the banana peppers? No, I would always just be thinking about, I feel so bad for you that you didn't get your 2-hour lunch tonight.
Yeah.
While I'm rushing off to a ball game every other evening.
Yeah. Talk to me on Tuesdays and Thursdays and Fridays.
I tell you what, my station, Fox 56, over there on Euclid Avenue, what they do, this week, here was our Thursday, our Halloween day. At noon, we had a chili cook-off with like 6 people brought in chili.
Always amazing.
There was guacamole dip, there was butterscotch pie, pumpkin pie, pecan pie, banana pudding. There was like some kind of Mexican salad. It was great. So we had a chili cook-off contest. So you voted for best chili. You voted for best side dish. You voted for best dessert. Each one of those got a prize, like a $50 gift card somewhere or a Visa card or something like that. Then we did trivia, which was like 2 pages of questions about Friday the 13th or Halloween or Nightmare on Elm Street or, you know, something like that. The winner of that got another prize. And then we got a 2-page list of scavenger hunt.
Like, oh, that's fun.
And we're given 45 minutes to go out into Chevy Chase and find these things. You couldn't buy anything and you couldn't steal anything, obviously. But it was stuff like a piece of candy corn, a yard with tombstones in it, an acorn, a walnut, a rusty nail, something with the number 13 on it. Just all this stuff, okay? So we paired up and went out and did that. And so by the time you do all that, it's like 2 o'clock. We've spent 2 hours eating chili, playing games, and doing scavenger hunts. And it felt like the day was, you know, half over pretty much. But we do this stuff like all the time. Every now and again, there'll be breakfast brought in.
Yeah.
Every now and again, there'll be lunch.
I think that's so important.
The week before that, every April and October, we get half a day to go to Keeneland. You don't have to take any time off work. It's, okay, guys, which day is your Keeneland day? Which day are you going to take off at noon and go spend the rest of the afternoon at Keeneland and get paid for it? That makes a difference.
It does.
It makes a difference. It makes you think, you know what? They did that for me. Okay, if you need me to work late today or you need me to come in on a Saturday and work all day for some event we're doing, okay, because you guys are cool. It just makes a difference.
It does.
We're way past break time. We got way off topic. We'll get back to UK football. Some more stuff
to hear. And we got a little basketball game tonight.
We do.
We got to get into.
We'll talk about it next on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Joe Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
One of the great things about little boys and little girls is when they grow up, they want to be just like you. So to moms and dads, aunts and uncles, and grandparents everywhere, remember this. The next time you get in the car and don't buckle your seatbelt, a little boy is watching. And when you decide to text or dial and talk while driving, a little girl is watching your every move. And when you head down the road with a beer or cocktail in the car, that little person next to you is taking it all in. In this life, you have an awesome responsibility to those children who love you the most and want to be you in every way. So make a pledge today to be a good role model to these kids and their friends so that that little boy and that little girl get to grow up and be just like you. Morgan & Morgan, for our children.
Offices Lexington.
Republic Bank is all about easy. That's why you can pay your Fayette County property tax bill at any of our four convenient Lexington Republic banking centers. So say goodbye to parking downtown and say hello to Republic Bank's friendly staff and our easy and convenient parking. Or make things even easier and use one of our drive-thrus. Paying your property tax bill can be easy. Visit a Republic Banking Center before December 31st. Republic Bank. It's just easier here. Member FDIC.
Open soon on Vine Street downtown.
Come experience one of Lexington's hottest spots, the Tulip Bistro and Bar. Located in the heart of Chevy Chase at 355 Romney Road, you can enjoy their lighter fare menu such as tulip tacos or the decadent gourmet cheeseburgers, voted one of Lexington's best. For a more formal evening and dining experience, enjoy Tulip's delicious entrees like cast iron seared ribeye, or treat yourself to the best short ribs you'll ever eat. And don't forget about their seasonal dinner and salad specials. You'll also find fresh oysters and other sophisticated creations by Chef Spencer. Come enjoy their great wine list and outstanding service. The Tulip Bistro and Bar is open Monday through Saturday for dinner. The Tulip Bistro and Bar, 355 Romney Road, in the heart of Chevy Chase. Go to their website, thetulipbistroandbar.com, or call them at 367-6687 to make reservations. That's 859-367-6687. Let the Tulip Bistro and Bar be your next great dining experience.
ESPN Sports Radio
1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at D Reefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Stay the course. Continue to do, you know, rely on the things that you know. The things that you know make a difference. The things you're committed to that you know are going to build a program. And we had to look at areas. We got things fixed. You know, we got better. And it takes a buy-in from everybody. But, I had confidence that we would continue to improve and get better. And we will.
Well, I think it's a mark of a great leader is someone who knows what they've done works, or knows a formula and is going to stand by it in the face of everything. Not that the fans could make you change your mind or something, but you're working at it and you're going to stick to it and you're just going to keep putting your head down and grind away. And it's so true.
But the players bought.
Yeah.
Certainly have bought into that.
Yeah. Because you know what? After last season, what were the complaints? Offensive coordinator. There were complaints about the offense.
Gone.
What did he do? Brought in a new guy. What else? Complaints about special teams and needing a special teams coach. The special teams by committee thing, we weren't buying the explanation. Well, what did he do? Brought in a guy who's the special teams coach. There were a couple other things I seen to remember him addressing that were fan complaints.
Mm-hmm.
And so it all was positive momentum again. And then those first two games, and I think it was fair.
I absolutely think it was fair to write what was written
and say what was said. And if you're a fan, not pay for that anymore. That's completely understandable. But I feel better for someone who goes through this. You just do. It's a story you feel better about somebody when they've had a little suffering and they overcome it.
And of course, when there are problems, and you're right, those first two games, there were a bunch of problems.
Yeah.
You tend to think, because you don't know what it's like to be inside the room, you tend to think, they've lost these guys.
Yeah.
And to every day say, well, we're just going to go back to work. It's like, it's like a broken record. But now you can see that they didn't lose those guys.
Absolutely not.
The team was with this group the whole way.
Yeah. They're bought in. Did you watch SEC Inside this week?
I haven't, but I wish.
Do you have it? Do you have it on DVR?
No.
Oh.
I know. I heard it was amazing.
You've got to search. That right there shows you exactly how this team feels about Mark Stoops and how Mark Stoops feels about these players. And he got, you just see it. That's where you saw they're following Boom Williams after that game. And Boom, after the game, told UK radio afterward, Austin McGinnis said that Boom came to him and said, look, before we even get the ball here, we're about to get the ball back. I'm telling you, we're going to give you a chance, and we believe in you. And this was after Austin had missed the 28-yard field goal earlier in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then afterward, SEC Inside has footage of Boom going up and hugging Austin, and Boom is in tears. And he's just like, I told you we believe in you, man. I told you. And then he's just walking off sniffling. You can see it. And then they get in the locker room, and Stoops is saying, when they had that ball and
I did see this,
fumbled it and returned it, I was thinking, I love you guys, man.
I love this team. I love these guys.
Love, trust, and believe in one another. You know, all that whole thing. They're all in with him. They are absolutely all in with him. And I think they can tell that. I mean, he's just, all he wants to do is win games. He's got their best interest in mind. And I also
do believe, and we kind of talked with Coach Ortmeier a little bit yesterday off the air about what are some of the most important things a head coach can do. And he said, without question, it's who they hire for their staff.
Yes.
And I think you get the sense that, you know, at being a first-time head coach, you know, I think there was a lot of, you know, there was other hands in the pot when he first came here. A lot of call for Neil Brown, which is not a bad thing because he is kicking butt at Troy right now. And he's going to end up with a much bigger job as a head coach somewhere very, very soon.
Yeah.
In fact, there were people 3 weeks ago talking maybe he would be a guy that was mentioned for this job.
Yeah.
But I think you kind of get the sense now that after he's been through this a couple of years, he's got the staff in place that he wants in place with the relationships that are good. And, you know, he never gave up on DJ Elliott.
Right.
So you can tell that they have a close bond. And then I think Eddie Grant is probably the guy he would have wanted here the whole time.
Right. And he and DJ have got it figured out now. What they're doing together, they've figured out something that's just better. It's a better way of doing it. And credit Mark Stoops, because DJ said something to the effect of he's had to delegate some of his head coaching responsibilities. So I don't know what parts he's delegating off, but I mean, good for him for deciding this is what we got to do to fix things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just, you know, coming up with a solution. Okay, Mary Jo, I completely forgot about this. The high school footballs are playoffs are Friday, and I gotta tell you.
Oh yeah, you said you were gonna make predictions.
Yeah, I've got the whole thing. I've got it. I got the predictions, so I gotta get into it. But right before we do, as we go to break here, Josh, the play Steven Johnson made to Boom Williams, which was spectacular.
Yeah,
Johnson was going to be sacked. He was done for. He didn't have time to cock back and throw the ball, so he shot put it over the defensive lineman to Boom, and Boom goes in for the touchdown. Here's that highlight followed by Stoops describing it.
Pressure coming. Johnson pushes it off, and room here for Boom Williams. Touchdown, Kentucky. 13-yard catch and run for Boom.
It was a big play because we had such a long drive, and you could tell they had a great rush there, and we had a shuffle pass. He was supposed to underhand that, and he couldn't because of the pressure. Waited for it to clear, and again, that's Steven making plays that a lot of people, you know, don't completely understand because he's not sitting back in the pocket. He sat in the pocket, delivered some good footballs, but that kind of play is helping us win football games. It was supposed to be a shovel, and that's a safe play because if it's incomplete, it's incomplete. But if we get it, you could see the pressure. It was set up well, but he didn't have vision on it. So he ad-libbed, and then he dumped it over the top, and Boom makes one guy miss, and we get in. So it's a big play.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show
continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Cryo House. I'm so grateful to have found the Cryo House. I've had hip and shoulder pain for quite a while, and one visit to the Cryo House and there's a noticeable difference. One session of cryotherapy. If you have chronic pain or arthritis or another autoimmune disorder or need workout recovery, go see Tammy. Many of Lexington's sports teams have already found out about this amazing place. Check out thecryohouse.com. Go see Tammy on Tiverton Way and ask about the packages. It can change your life.
Now's the time to take advantage of big savings at Aurora Pools and Spas. Save 60% off in-stock 2016 patio furniture and dining sets. Save 30% off outdoor accessories. Aurora is clearing out their showroom to make room for the 2017 styles arriving daily. Save 60% off in-stock 2016 patio furniture and dining sets and 30% off outdoor accessories. Cash in on big savings at Aurora today. 1512 Colesbury Circle in Lexington. Or call them at 299-2932. That's 299-2932. Aurora Pools and Spas. Now's the time to take advantage of big savings at Aurora Pools and Spas. Save 60% off in-stock 2016 patio furniture and dining sets. Save 30% off outdoor accessories. Aurora is clearing out their showroom to make room for the 2017 styles arriving daily. Save 60% off in-stock 2016 patio furniture and dining sets and 30% off outdoor accessories. Cash in on big savings at Aurora today. 1512 Colesbury Circle in Lexington. Or call them at 299-2932. That's 299-2932. Aurora Pools and Spas.
Don't take chances with your fine clothing. Come to Emperor's Cleaners and have your clothes treated like royalty. Emperor's Cleaners will make you look good every day. Or for special occasions, Emperor's Cleaners also preserves wedding gowns that make them look as good as new. Emperor's Cleaners specializes in leather cleaning, shirt laundry, custom work, and alterations. You'll find them in the Idle Hour Shopping Center on Richmond Road. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday from 9 until 3. Emperor's Cleaners treats you and your clothes like royalty.
You can trust your car to Fleet Doc.
Most families and businesses have a fleet of vehicles, and everyone needs a vehicle doctor they can trust. At Fleet Doc, we are a trusted vehicle doctor. From oil changes to complete engine replacements, Fleet Doc does it all, and at fleet prices. See them for all your service needs, and tire inspections are always free on Contract Street near Greens Toyota or at fleet-doc.com.
Fleet Doc's got the cure that your car needs. Fleet Doc Drive!
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
I was at a Halloween party last night. Kind of fun. Trick-or-treating is tomorrow.
Did you dress up? Were you Dab Man?
I'm sorry, I didn't realize that was going to make me laugh as hard as it did. No, it was at my mom's house for the kids and stuff, and so there was...
Quick, they're going to be what?
One is going to be a ninja, the other one's going to be a Navy SEAL.
That's awesome.
They're big into that stuff. So my son asked me last night, why do we have to go to school on Halloween?
It's a valid question.
I agreed. I said, well, maybe they'll be nice and not give you homework. And he goes, I doubt it. Sorry, bud. High school football playoffs begin Friday. Let's go through it real quick. Class 1A, the quarterfinals. Let's just jump right to the semifinals. I see in the semifinals of the 1A, Russellville against Beechwood and Paintsville against Williamsburg. Williamsburg would have to get by Pikeville to do it. But I see it happening, but I don't see Williamsburg getting by Paintsville. I see Paintsville beating Beechwood for the state championship in Class 1A. 2A, Mayfield, Owensboro Catholic, DeSales, Christian Academy, uh-huh. Louisville, Covington, Holy Cross, Newcath, LCA, Danville. Rematch LCA, Danville in the region final. Semifinals, Mayfield will meet up against Christian Academy, Louisville, Newport Catholic against LCA. LCA and Christian Academy, Louisville in the finals. As much as I love LCA, I think Christian Academy of Louisville pulls it out and wins their first state championship. Or maybe. I don't know if they've won one before. Class 3A, Colwell County versus Elizabethtown, Central versus Lexcath, Russell versus Belfry, Casey County versus Corbin.
Those are your region finals. Semifinals, Caldwell County and Lexington Catholic. Lexington Catholic's moving on. Belfry and Corbin, Belfry's moving on.
Mm-hmm.
Lexington Catholic and Belfry in the finals, nobody's beaten Belfry. Belfry wins. Class 4A, quarterfinals, Hopkinsville, Franklin Simpson, John Hardin versus Shelby County, Wayne County versus Rockcastle County in a rematch of a game earlier that went into overtime, Ashland Blazer versus Johnson Central. Franklin Simpson moves on to meet Shelby County. Franklin Simpson wins that game in the semifinals. Rockcastle County faces Johnson Central in the semifinals. Johnson Central moves on and beats Franklin Simpson for the 4A state championship. In 5A, Bowling Green beats Owensboro to move on to the semifinals. Covington Catholic beats Fern Creek to move on to the semifinals. South Oldham beats Madison Southern to get into the semifinals. And then Southwestern beats Pulaski County for a second time this season to move to the semis. Bowling Green over Covcath in the semis. Southwestern over South Oldham in the semis. Bowling Green beats Southwestern to win the 5A state championship game. That would be, by the way, the fourth state championship appearance for Larry French at Southwestern if he were to get there. By far the hardest to pick, Class 6A. I mean, it is loaded. Male against St. Xavier, I got to go St. X. In the region, Central, Hardin, and Trinity, got to be Trinity. Ryle and Scott County, They're awfully tough, but Scott County has been there so many times before where Ryle hasn't been where they are. I say Scott County goes on there. Simon Kenton and Lafayette. I just feel like Lafayette is just lacking something. I'm not sure what it is. I'm going Simon Kenton here. St. X and Trinity in the semifinals. Trinity. Scott County, Simon Kenton in the semifinals. Scott County. Trinity over Scott County to win the Class 6A state championship.
And there you have it.
The only one I'm not confident in is Class 6A. The rest of them, I feel like I'm dead on.
we'll check back in a couple weeks.
Yeah, a couple weeks. About Thanksgiving, we'll know. Thanks for listening to the Dan and Mary Jo Show. Sorry we went over a little bit, but we're just joining in progress a football game that's already going on, right? Is that right, Josh?
And there's a basketball game tonight, too. Well,
forgot to talk about that, but that was a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
Clarion and Kentucky at 7 o'clock tonight on the SEC Network. We're going to see Briscoe, Monk, and Fox all together with Bam and Isaiah. Isaac Humphreys.
Should be fun.
Should be fun, indeed. Thanks for listening this weekend. Let's see, Mary Jo, you'll be off next weekend.
I'm off next weekend.
You're off next weekend. I'll be here on Saturday. I'm trying to not be here on Sunday. It's my birthday weekend. I got friends coming in from out of town.
You won't be here Sunday.
I just don't want to be here at 9 a.m. Sunday morning. No. As much as I love you guys, I just don't feel I would be at 100%.
And we need you at 100% or don't show up.
That's right. Thanks for listening this weekend. We'll talk to you next weekend on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Mike and Mike.
Mike and Mike and Joe Maddon, the manager of the Cubs, and going back to the beginning of the season.